You are listening to a special edition iFanboy podcast, Punisher Warzone.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real.
Hey, welcome to a special edition of the iFanboy podcast. We're talking about Punisher Warzone, the new film from Lionsgate and Marvel. My name is Connor. I'm here with Ron.
Hey.
And Josh.
Hello.
Ooh.
That's Punishery. Was it not Punishery?
It was Punishery.
So normally we do our weekly pick of the week show. We talk about the books of the week. But occasionally we like to talk about the films that come out. And Punisher Warzone is the newest comic book film in the year of comic book movies. There's one more. The Spirit is next.
Yeah. Wow. We're almost done. Almost out of the goods.
That'll cap the year. There's been like six or seven of these shows.
This is the seventh. Yeah. Jesus.
So Punisher Warzone came out from Lionsgate and from Marvel, but not Marvel Studios. This is not a Marvel Studios film.
Right. This is the old, you know, kind of deal-y thing.
Well, I'd like to open the show with a question, if we can start a topic. My question is this. Punisher Warzone, is it the worst film of 2008 or the worst film of all time?
That is a poignant question.
Yeah. It was formed very quickly. It wasn't like he'd been thinking about it.
No. Oh, my God. I'm going to opt for all time.
All right. Before we get started, I've prepared a statement.
Oh, Mr. Flanagan has a statement?
Yeah, yeah. I would like to go ahead and issue a blanket apology to the following films. Wanted, the 1987 Punisher movie, Elektra, Daredevil, Roger Corman's Fantastic Four.
Matt Salinger, Ghost Rider. Matt Salinger's Captain America.
Salinger's Captain America.
Oh my God.
Teaching Mrs. Tingle. Saws 1-5. The television adaptation of the Justice League.
Oh, with David Alan Greer. Oh man.
No, Roger Ogden Stearns.
Roger Ogden Stearns, right? David Alan Greer is the other guy.
I'd like to David Ogden Stiers and David Alan Greer have nothing to do with it.
I know.
Daredevil and Thor appearing on the Incredible Hulk television programs.
What about the Joel Schumacher Batmans?
Well, actually, I have a special dispensation here for Joel Schumacher, Batman Forever, and Batman and Robin. I think notes have to go to Tommy Lee Jones and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Holly Berry, she's definitely got to be apologized to.
Catwoman.
Definitely. Brett Ratner. I'm sorry. Sorry, Ratner. And if I've left any out, and I'm sure that I have.
X3, yeah.
I'm sure that there's some sort of Japanese adaptation of Captain Marvel that was not good. But it was good when you compare it to Punisher Warzone, which really literally, like, it may have been the worst movie I've ever seen. So before we get started, what did you like about the movie?
Well, wait. Before we get into what we like, all I can say is that so you guys saw it before I did.
Yeah.
And you guys were very good about not telling me how bad it was and keeping me somewhat clear about it. But the one thing that resonated was that – what I think slipped through the cracks was when one of you said that this movie makes Wanted look like the best movie of 2008. And for me, that kind of framed it up. And after seeing it, like, Wanted is a fucking masterpiece compared to this piece of shit. Like, oh my God, like, I want to go buy the DVD of Wanted right now to watch it just to wipe the cleanse my palate from Punisher Warzone. It's like...
My entire radar has been thrown off.
All right, well, let's backtrack and we'll get the good stuff out of the way because that'll be a quick conversation. I thought Ray Stevenson is an excellent Punisher.
Great casting. Awful direction.
I thought, in fact, I said this to Josh when we walked into the movies. Poor Ray Stevenson. He was trapped in this horrible movie. He was doing his best trapped in this horrible movie. He was a great Punisher. they still continue to cast the leads very well.
Yes, I thought he was, his casting was fantastic. I thought his direction and the script he was given, what he gave to do with it, was awful. And
we'll get to the awful stuff, but right now the good stuff is Ray Stevenson's acting as the Punisher, his embodiment of the Punisher. He looked like the Punisher. Josh mentioned he looked like a Tim Bradstreet cover.
Yes,
well, literally. I mean, the movie that was sold to us from the poster that is the picture of Ray Stevenson in the Punisher getup.
Yep.
That continues to be an excellent movie.
Yep.
Doesn't exist.
Was there anything else good? I feel like there was something good.
Okay, there was one fantastic thing that happened in this movie. Connor, I know you know what it is. I'm in the middle of it, and it's just becoming clear that this is not turning around. And you got some black Irish people, who don't exist, hopping around on a roof.
Oh,
and
God.
Somebody does a giant flip, and I'm going... And I'm literally like, what the fuck is this bullshit? And then Frank Castle shoots him with a missile. And it was the most fantastic thing. And, I got to give it that. Like, the thing is, this movie, I'd say for the first 5 minutes when he breaks into the gangster table, the lights go out and he stands there. And then, I was not prepared for the level of violence and the level of retribution that would be graphically shown. And I thought, all right, if that's the way you're going to go with it, that's kind of cool.
It was an R-rated film. It was very bloody. Yeah. It was a lot
stabbed
of
people in the face.
Yeah.
It was. And then right up through that scene, I thought, oh, wow. This is funny that they've never taken Punisher this far before, and it makes sense that they would. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That was it. That's my
one more good thing. Josh disagrees, but I really liked the guy who played Soap. I thought, as a casting decision, he was directed badly, but I'm rereading right now the Punisher Omnibus.
Yeah.
And Soap is all over that, and he is Soap.
Yeah, yeah.
He really nails Soap. He's directed badly, just like everybody else was directed badly, but we'll get to that.
But
casting-wise, he looks like Soap.
Yes.
He got that sort of sad sack. But still wants to do good things.
I thought he was a little more dopier than he needed to be, but that was the direction. I don't blame the actor. Yeah, I do like that actor. That actor was in Romeo and Juliet, and he was in 90210, actually. So I do like that actor.
Well, that leads to a discussion that Josh and I had again, was that this movie is full of people that are either good to great actors.
Yep.
And I don't know what the fuck happened.
Well, here's the deal. My thing with the movie, what I really didn't understand was, like Josh said, first off, the first thing I have to say is that as an Italian American, I was so offended at the opening scene. I was like, I'm getting into this. Like, they did the whole kind of cover treatment. It was a Marvel Knights movie, which I don't know the distinction between Marvel Knights and Marvel.
R-rated.
Yeah, okay, whatever. So they do the whole opening, and then we get the graphics, and we kind of get a feel for who the Punisher is. And then they open up, and this kind of, we hear that this mob boss has been let off, and it goes to a meeting, and it proceeds to be the worst stereotypical over the top, way 10 miles past the Sopranos of Italian Americans, that as an Italian American, I'm like, I want to write a letter, basically.
You're not the only ethnic group that got taken into that.
Yes, sure, yes, yes.
I mean,
like
you get to the end and literally it was like, how about, literally, I didn't realize the Irish were still maligned like this.
Yeah.
They went to the Irish bar of like Black Irish Westies or whatever the fuck they were.
No, they were able to play on every gangland stereotype there was between the Irish.
But the Italians really got it because it was all about the mob and
the accents.
And it was like Italian dinner theater improv show.
Yes, it was Tony and Tina's wedding. It was Tony and Tina's wedding. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it wasn't even like it was the guy who started off as a mobster and ends up being Jigsaw was just ridiculous. And this gets to my second point about the movie, which I'll get to in a second. But it was just like I'm the top earner in New York, and you got to pay some respect, eh? And it's like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And they're speaking full Italian, no dialect, and it was just like, oh my God, it was just like, it was painful. And then that led to the villainous Jigsaw led to my question, which is, and the moment when the Punisher strikes at them at the mob meeting at this dinner, and he lights the red, he kills the lights, and he lights the red flare, and he just starts killing people, and I'm like, all right, cool, that's awesome. And then the Punisher proceeds to do a flip and link his legs on the chandelier and start spinning, shooting automatic Uzis or whatever around the room, killing everyone. And it became And I laughed. And that's the real problem with this movie, is that this movie, like, was it supposed to be funny or was it supposed to be dramatic and action and violent? Because I think that they were trying to play it – like
the tone was all over the place.
The tone was all over the place. And Jigsaw as a villain was like – it was a Schumacher villain. That could have been in a Schumacher movie, that villain. And
he was so over the top, and then you'd have a super serious scene. I can't take this super serious scene seriously because you're showing me Jigsaw being four levels over, you know, Gary Oldman in The Professional. Like, it was just like –
Yep.
There was the direction. Lexi Alexander was the director. And guess what, Josh? Her next project, she really wants it to be Jonah Hex. Just putting that out there. That was the story this week. She is not a good director. The actors were given obviously bad direction. You know what really worried me? This reminded me of the Schumacher Revolution, where you had a couple of films that were serious superhero films, where they treated superheroes like every other character. Just so happens they're superheroes, but they're treated with respect and seriousness. Somebody comes along like Schumacher, who said, hey, these are comic books, they should be goofy. And then that led to the whole, you know, nightmarish decade.
Yeah.
And now this is the first one we've had since Iron Man, Dark Knight, all these films where they took these people seriously.
Yes.
It just so happens that they are wearing a costume, but they're also serious dramatic characters. And so you can tell almost the direction was, hey, have fun with it. It's a superhero comic movie. You know, like they just go nuts. And that's what they did. They just all over the
place. That would have been fine. And I want to make this note that Connor and I actually a long time ago watched a movie together called Green Street Hooligans. Yeah. And Connor and I don't always agree on everything, and I'm probably more critical than things. But the thing is, if Connor thinks a movie is really bad and I do, I know it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
And Green Street Hooligans, him and I watched together, and it was just horrid. Like, and we were kind of looking forward to it. This was directed by Lexi Alexander, former stunt woman. The thing is this. If this had been a movie where it was like gory shooting people all over the place and sort of not taking itself too seriously, I could live with that. I want this to be clear. I went into this movie. I am the guy who hates fun, apparently. And I thought, I'm gonna go in with the best mindset and enjoy this. Because Ray Stevenson as Titus Pullo in Rome, I was a big, big fan of. Dominic West, of course, was on The Wire, the greatest television show ever produced. Jimmy McNulty, a fantastic character. So he's got chops. It just was like, oh. But see, the thing is that Dominic West made a choice. He's like, I'm going to play it this way. Or he was told to play it this way, and he did it that way. And at least he stuck with one thing the whole way through.
He was consistent in his tone, but the rest of the people,
has to be a fault of directing. Right, because there can't be this many bad actors in one place.
And also in terms of the directing also, I don't know how much this was Lexi or was the DP, but now keep in mind, like I'm the definition of film school dropout. I mean, I bailed on production second semester freshman year. Like that's when I went to do management stuff. But I like to think I know a little bit about the art form of filmmaking. I've read books. I've done all this kind of stuff like that. Was it just me or was I sitting too close to the screen? Was the framing and the cinematography really weird? Like there would be these close-ups of faces that were not in like you split the screen up into thirds and like it's good to put somebody in the left or the right third and then have, you know, type thing. But it was like the left eighth of the screen. It was like really tight on the face and like 7/8 of the screen was just empty. And then these conversations, it would be that and then a medium shot and then a close-up again. And the framing and a lot of the actual technical shooting of the movie just was like, who did this and why? Like it just didn't make sense, you know? Like, and it really got in the way. It was like I was just from the writing to the direction to the cinematography, I thought everything was just like shockingly inconsistent.
It was really like one of those things like I couldn't believe that this was released by a major studio.
Well, Josh can attest. I went in hopeful. I went in hoping that we get like a really good B movie, like, you know, serious violent film. Yeah. And he can tell you I started to slump as the movie went along.
Because I start laughing relatively early on.
Connor, were you like me in X3?
A little bit worse, actually.
and I was like, I'm used to me going to things and like not and thinking it's really silly, and then looking at Connor and he like sort of shuns me for being a dick.
Yeah.
And like I looked over and I saw him rubbing his brow. And then I remember there was a moment.
The audience turned on the film.
Yeah. The audience turned on the film, and I had something to do with it because it was like something happened. There was a couple of giggles, and I just started laughing. And at that point on, the whole theater had lost it from then on. And I don't remember. I think it was
– There was a couple of – I think I know the moment you're talking about.
For us, it was when they were in the church.
Yeah.
And like you don't know why he's in the church or whatever, and the priest just goes, you're a long way from parochial school.
Yeah, yes. It was just like, what?
And the thing is, if the whole film had been that tone – oh, no, that wasn't it. That was funny. It was And this is a point that Connor had brought up, is that he goes to see the little girl. I don't know who Frank Castle is here. He goes to see the little girl, and he's about to go, and she reaches up for his hand with his little gloved hand, and she's like, don't go.
I know you just killed my dad, but don't go.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just – it was just like – and I was like, oh really?
Yeah, and like later on when they save the girl and her mom from the jigsaw or whatever, and like Castle picks the girl up. And just like – it just seemed so – weird. It was just, oh my god. And I mean, I tweeted this, and I'm sorry, you know, having the Frank Castle is a great, you know, character motivator, and it's an awful thing to have your family going down by the mafia. But Frank Castle doesn't cry, and they showed him crying in this movie at least twice, and it was just like, it's not.
Josh and I went to a screening, and it was a small, like 30-man screening, and it was New York film people who worked in film. You could tell from the conversations.
Yeah.
And I think they wanted to like it in the beginning, but by the middle it was like they lost it. It was just open. People were openly laughing at it by the middle. And the guy next to me fell asleep, and then he woke up and he started muttering about how bad the movie was. And then when he punched the guy through the face.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Somebody in the back of the theater said, "That's not possible." It was just.
Which again is fine if you. The thing is, you have to choose your line of reality.
Yep.
You have to choose your tone, but you cannot go from slapstick violence, I guess that's what it would be called, to like these really poorly acted like high school drama.
Yeah.
Acting moments like the widow woman.
Yeah. Yes. It, yeah.
She's never gonna work again because. She should never show this to anyone.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing, though. Unfortunately, I had to beg and borrow and steal from my friends to get somebody to go with me to see this movie, and I finally got one person to go. And as we're walking out of the movie and we're leaving the theater, and he was just like, he's like, do the people who worked on it? He's like, I want to contact everyone in the credits and be like, are you proud of this? Like, is it you're like, wow, we're doing a good thing here, you know? Like, it's just like it's like how can oh geez.
In the middle of my slumping in the theater, I had a couple of distinct thoughts. About halfway through, I thought, wow, I really wish I was drunk. Like, I would be enjoying this a lot more. But about three quarters of the way through, I thought, how does this get released?
Yeah, that's the question.
How do they sink millions and millions and millions of dollars into this film?
How much did they get it? What was the budget? Let me look that up.
Get it into post-production and realize this is a freaking disaster.
Right. Like,
How does someone think this is a good idea to put out there? And from the chatter in the elevator afterwards, apparently there was a lot of problems in the post-production between the studio and the filmmaker.
Yeah, you think?
Not surprising.
Jesus Christ. I just can't believe it. It was so bad.
For somebody who, by the way, here's a nitpick, and I don't even need to nitpick because the overall arc of things. Again, I want to stress, I really wanted to try to like this.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just gonna have fun. I'm not gonna bring my.
No, he totally did. We talked about it beforehand.
The budget was $35 million.
I could have used that money.
Yeah. Just give me $1 million of that.
Now you guys have noticed that I'm a person who does some accents, right?
Yeah.
Now, you two will know the difference between a Boston accent and a New York accent, right?
Yeah.
And now I assume that there was a person on this film that was hired as a dialogue coach.
Right.
Sometimes people had accents. Sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they were talking like they're from Boston. I mean, it was the worst outside of like movies about Maine where nobody can do that accent. Like,
yeah.
Oh. You know, oh.
I mean, what I thought was so funny too was that so at the end, so Jigsaw has the widow and the girl captured and Microchip, who was awesome to see Microchip. That was awesome.
I thought he wasn't bad as Microchip either.
No, I thought he was good at Microchip. And it's the whole, you can't save them both, which one are you going to choose or whatever. And, you know, the typical, you know, kind of thing is that the hero figures out how to save both of them, right? And, like, that's what happens. And this, no, Microchip got shot through the head. I was like, there goes that character.
Because the thing is, if he had, like, you know, that's actually one of the good choices that was made in the movie.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that he does.
I was surprised by it. And then my other nitpick was, and you'll jump all over me for it, but Connor, maybe you won't, is that when they show Punisher going down to his lair, there was just one of the worst. It's not hard to reproduce the New York Transit signs on subway stations.
Connor and I scared a look.
No. We're keep in mind, we saw this in New York.
Right.
Every time there was a shot that wasn't a helicopter shot, because the only stuff that was New York was the helicopter shots.
Yeah.
Every time there was a street level shot or the subway, it was like
the fucking BART here in San Francisco, or it was like the DC subway.
Well, I looked it up and it was shot in Montreal, so maybe that's what the Montreal.
It was the Montreal subway.
Every time there was tittering through the crowd. I mean, that's a New York thing. We all realize that's not the same.
Right,
but it was so badly reproduced.
just.
I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing. Fine, the subway train wasn't the same. It's hard to reproduce a New York subway train. That's fine. But you can make a fucking black sign with white Helvetica letters that says A, C, and E line. Like, that's not hard. I could do that at home. Like, how that sign wasn't dead on accurate is beyond me, because literally it's just Helvetica and three blue dots. That's all it is. Oh, my God. Wow, I'm angry now. I just went from laughing to anger now.
I was really disappointed. Like, I didn't. Yeah. I thought it was really bad. It was more disappointing than anything. The thing is, there is a good Punisher movie somewhere to be made. Will it ever be made? Probably not. Now after three bad movies.
Well, hopefully,
if they had gone gritty, if they had gotten, I mean, somebody mentioned this on the website, and I had the same discussion with Josh afterwards. If they got Joe Carnahan or somebody who does low budget action in a series, if they took Frank Castle, and did a serious thing, not too over the top. Guys scarred by tragedy.
Cheap.
They could have done Jigsaw, but just a guy with a face full of scars. They didn't have to give him the whole get up.
Oh, God.
If you do a low budget, dirty, action film that takes it seriously, there's a really good action film in there somewhere. But this, they went Tommy Lee Jones as the Two-Face here.
That outfit on Jigsaw at the end, what the hell was that? That Euro trash outfit? Like, what? Really?
And him strutting around Lower Manhattan getting gangs? Yeah. Like, fucking.
And that whole thing in front of the American flag, the speech and everything. Oh my God, it was just so bad.
That was funny. That was at least something.
That was funny.
But was the movie supposed to be funny?
Well, but that's the problem. It was serious and funny, and then they couldn't decide what they wanted.
The thing is that hopefully, you know, the license on the character lapses, or they get it back and they put it back to the Marvel Studios. And in like 5 years they try it again. But I think
I don't think they can sell a Punisher movie now because. Yeah. You know, I didn't hate the last one, but it had a lot of major problems. And I found myself feeling really sad because, again, I've been rereading the Punisher, my Marvel Knights books. I got the omnibus, and I just thinking, why they could have just adapted the Welcome Back Frank story.
Yeah, they went to the well on the last one with that.
Right, but so what? They remade every movie. I mean, they could have done that in a serious way and would have had a great film there. But
or they could have taken
anything from the Max.
Out of Max, you have a great movie that isn't related to anything. It doesn't matter. You could have done it.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, at least
this was the wow.
Yeah.
Just
it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and I'm shocked that it was made, that it made it through, that it was released. Like, films this bad usually get shelved.
Yeah. Should have been.
But they're trying to ride the comic book wave, but they're not. They're not doing it.
Or Ray Stevenson. I hope he comes back.
The casting was great. He was great. He was a great casting. I just wish he had some good stuff to work with.
I feel horrible for him because it's his first big lead role in a film.
Yeah. Oh God. All right. Well, we like movies when they're done well, and if you go back and look at our feed, you can see some of the audio show podcasts that we've done talking about good movies, and hopefully the spirit conversation will be better. But you can find out all about that at ifanboy.com, as well as our weekly Pick of the Week podcast, as well as our video show, which you find out it comes out every Wednesday. And if you like The Punisher and you're listening to this, go check out the video show at ifanboy.com or revision3.com/ifanboy, because we talk all about The Punisher comics and not the movie, and so you'll enjoy that.
I'm going to go watch Transformers, guys.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So the Spirit is up next. Look for that. Look for us to talk about the Spirit around the holidays. And hopefully that will...
probably after the New Year, because it comes out on Christmas Day.
Right, yeah. We'll figure it out. We'll post on ifanboy.com when we're doing it. And if you have any questions, email us at contact@ifanboy.com and go to ifanboy.com and I don't know. Read some good comics. Buy the Ennis Omnibus and read that, because that's good.
It's very good. I'm about three quarters of the way through it.
All right. So until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I am Josh.
the Italian accents just broke my heart.
I was offended.
Yeah.
I was Irish. Yes.
Oh, God. So bad.
I will let you down. I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles. Find a way.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on over and over. in your mind about it. And like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it. Work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it. You know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.